Today is the feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working withal and confirming the word with signs that followed. And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, as I said, today we celebrate the beautiful feast of the Ascension of our Lord, the perfection, the completion of our Lord's earthly life, the very last act of our Lord's earthly life. It is a feast, of course, which proclaims Christ's sovereign glory, his majesty. We celebrate the divinity, the majesty, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is, of course, a feast that we must contemplate. We must put forth some effort to understand more and more the mystery of the Ascension and what it must mean to each one of us. And thus, in contemplating the mystery of the Ascension of our Lord, firstly, we should consider, what do we actually celebrate on this feast day? What do we mean when we say our Lord ascended into heaven? Secondly, we must ask ourselves, why did our Lord ascend? Why was it so necessary for our Lord to ascend into heaven? And then thirdly, we must consider how we ourselves, each individual, is to enter into this mystery, what it means for each one of us. Firstly, what do we celebrate? 40 days after our Lord's resurrection, after preparing his apostles, teaching them, instructing them in their duties to carry on his mission in this world, forming his church, enlightening his apostles, 40 days afterward, our Lord ascends into heaven by his own power. St. Thomas Aquinas says, our Lord ascends by his own power as both God and man. As God, of course, because he has a divine power. He can do all things. But even as man, our Lord ascends into heaven because his human soul has a perfect, in a sense, power over his body. The soul of our Lord can command his body to go wherever it wishes. And so our Lord ascends into heaven, taking with him all of those men and women from the Old Testament who had died, who had been waiting for this moment in the valley of limbo, the limbo of the fathers. Our Lord takes all of them up to heaven and takes his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. We see he sits at the right hand of the Father. And again, our Lord does this as both God and man. As God, because this is his rightful place, he is equal with the Father. But as man, and this is very important for us to understand, our Lord also sits at the right hand of the Father because he is our judge. He is our master. He is our conqueror. He takes his rightful place after a lifetime of suffering, after a lifetime of forgetting self, after a lifetime of the cross. He now takes his rightful place because he has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. As man, our Lord is our king. As man, our Lord is our conqueror. And therefore, he takes his rightful place and he will judge us as man. He will show to us what he has done for us in his suffering, in his death. And so that when our Lord comes to judge us again, he will judge us as a man, letting us know very clearly that he understands what we went through, but also that he gave us the perfect example of how to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so what we celebrate on the Feast of the Ascension is our Lord taking his rightful place, ascending by his own power, both divine and human, ascending body and soul into heaven, taking all of the souls who adhered to him, who followed his lead, who looked for his salvation, taking them all up to heaven with him, and taking his rightful place at the right hand of his Father in full glory and in full majesty. Why does our Lord ascend? It's firstly to take this rightful possession. Because our Lord conquered in this world, he deserves an eternal crown, a perfect crown. But what's more, our Lord also ascends in order to intercede for us. It's quite beautiful when we are discouraged, when we are feeling down, when we're feeling like we can no longer go on, that this world is just far too difficult for us to make it through. We should remind ourselves that even as we speak, our Lord is preparing a place in heaven for us. That even as we speak, our Lord intercedes for us. He shows his wounds to his heavenly Father, reminding him of this is what our Lord went through in this life in order to save us. That our Lord, even as we speak, wishes us to be in heaven. That should fill us with the greatest hope, the greatest confidence. And we must never forget, the devil is the one who works in discouragement, who works in despair. The devil will constantly try to discourage us from a Christian life, will constantly seek to make us believe that it is simply too difficult to persevere, simply too difficult to attain a life of sanctity, simply too difficult to become saints as our Lord wishes us to be. And all we have to do is contemplate, meditate on this mystery to understand that it is not impossible. In fact, it is very possible because we have our Lord interceding in heaven for us. We have our Lord preparing a place for us, that our Lord ascended to heaven specifically to draw us to him, to lead us to this eternal crown. And what's more, our Lord ascends into heaven so that he can send us the Holy Ghost. In just a few days, we are going to celebrate also the beautiful feast of Pentecost. We must never forget the Holy Ghost is alive and well. He is working in the world, in the church, and in our souls. The Holy Ghost is guiding us. He is protecting us. He is leading us. And therefore, we must adhere to the Holy Ghost. We must take on the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and we must listen to his inspirations so that we too can gain an eternal crown. Our Lord himself told his apostles, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you alone in this world. You will never be alone. You will never be abandoned in this world. We have the Holy Ghost's promise. We have our Lord's promise that we will always be protected, that we will always be guided. But we have to listen to the inspirations of the Holy Ghost. We have to follow the inspirations of God. We have to adhere with all of our heart to the teachings of the church. We have to follow the example of our Lord in the gospel. And we have to look to heaven. We have to seek the things of God. And that, my dear faithful, is in many ways the greatest lesson of this Feast of the Ascension. How we are to, in a sense, enter into the mystery of the Ascension. How we are to adhere to this mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we to celebrate this Feast of the Ascension? Firstly, we must spend the day in a spirit of adoration. Adore our Lord Jesus Christ in his power, in his majesty. The same Christ that we see hanging on the cross. The same Christ that we receive in Holy Communion, his precious body and blood. We are to adore him in majesty, in glory. Our Lord has been victorious. Our Lord is the victor. And therefore, we are meant to adhere to this victory in a spirit of adoration, a spirit of worship. And so we should spend this day, even more so than we normally do, in a spirit of profound adoration, of thinking of God, of thinking of our Lord in his victory, sitting at the right hand of God, sitting in full majesty and power. What's more, we are to look heavenward. This is a day more than any other that we should remind ourselves that this world, this earthly life, has nothing to hold for us, has nothing to entice us compared to what awaits us in heaven. And therefore, our thoughts, our aspirations, our gaze should always be on heaven. We should not get caught up with the things of this world. Our Lord himself tells us, you must be in this world, but not of this world. St. Peter, in one of his epistles, tells us we must live as pilgrims, as strangers in this world. And yet all too often, we get obsessed with this world. We become obsessed with our own petty concerns in this life. And we get bogged down, we get weighted down by what goes on in this world, in this life. And we never cast our gaze to heaven. We never think about what we are really here for. We don't think about what we were made for and where our true home lies. What is 20, 30, 50, 100 years in this life compared to an eternity in heaven? So that no matter what our Lord sends us, no matter what divine providence guides us to or toward, no matter what crosses we have to bear, no matter what trials we have to suffer, no matter what injuries we may suffer at the hands of those who persecute us, what does it matter when heaven awaits us, when our Lord Jesus Christ awaits us, when a mansion prepared by our Lord's own hands awaits us in heaven? What does it matter in this life? This world is simply a trial ground, a passing ground, a few fleeting years to prepare us for eternity. And therefore, we must never become so concerned and so weighed down by this world and what goes on in this world. We must constantly cast our gaze heavenward, understanding that paradise is the suitable dwelling place for the follower of Christ. Our Lord ascended into heaven because this world could no longer hold a suitable place for him. He had a resurrected body. His place was to be with his Father in heaven. It's a reminder to us that as a follower of Christ, someone who has been baptized, someone who has been called to the one true church of Christ, this world is not a suitable dwelling place. It's just a passing moment, a trial ground. Heaven is where we belong. Heaven is what we must think about. Heaven is what must move us and motivate us in all of our actions, in all of our aspirations. In a sense, the world has nothing to offer us other than a means to the end, which is heaven. And thus, my dear faithful, we must today form a resolution to imitate Christ, firstly, in his humility, in his sufferings, in his mortifications in this life, He has given us the perfect example of how we are to, in a sense, travel in this world in a spirit of humility, resignation to the divine will, a spirit of mortification, a spirit of suffering, a spirit of love for the cross, so that we may gain the eternal crown that our Lord himself has gained, that our Lord wishes to give us. We must imitate Christ in his sufferings, in his selflessness, so that we may share in his glory. We must correspond to the victory of Christ, a victory which has already been won for us. And we can only do this, my dear friends, by living a life of grace, a life of prayer, a life of virtue, a life lived in union with Christ. Nothing else matters. And this day, this feast of the Ascension, this mystery of the Ascension is a beautiful reminder to us. Nothing else matters than our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters than a life of grace. Nothing else matters than a life of virtue in imitation of Christ. Everything else will fall away. And what will remain will be an eternal crown in heaven, an eternal crown that our Lord is preparing for us even now. And thus, my dear faithful, today is a very joyous day, a day to celebrate. Liturgically, Christ leaves us. At the principal Mass this evening, the Paschal candle will be put out, will be extinguished, to signify that our Lord has left us. He's ascended to heaven. And the candle will not be lit again for the liturgical services until Easter. But it's a reminder to us that our Lord has left us only in order to prepare a place for us, that we will see him again, that we are meant to see him again. Each one of us, by our baptism, by our calling to a union with God, we are meant to see Christ again in heaven. And so we rejoice today and we look to our real home, which is heaven. We look to our new life, a life of grace, a life of virtue, a life of union, a life which is divine. Our Lord himself says that. He calls us to a share in his divine life. We are called to live the life of God, in this life by faith and grace, and in the next by the possession of God, the vision of God. We are called not just to a new life, but to a divine life. And that's the beautiful sentiment of today's preface of the Mass for the Ascension, in which we are told he was elevated into heaven in order to make us partakers of his divinity. Nothing else matters. Nothing we have to suffer in this life compares to what awaits us in heaven. We are going to be made partakers of our Lord's divinity. It's a beautiful sentiment, an inspiring sentiment. And so we spend this day in a spirit of adoration, in a spirit of longing for heaven, a spirit of sharing in the victory of Christ, a desire for a new life, a life of grace, and a life of the divinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.